Rows of film studio buildings reflected in a shiny gold surface. As the surface turns, it's revealed to be a shield with the letters WB in its centre. Warner Brothers Pictures, a Time Warner company. Fiery light courses along the molten metal ridges of a labyrinthine Celtic symbol. In bold letters, legendary. Warner Brothers Pictures and Legendary Pictures present a Legendary Pictures production. A man types.
In 1945, America's greatest generation came back from war.
Scratchy wartime footage of American forces.
The flags of freedom fly over Europe.
42.
Nazi Germany had been defeated, and 3 months later, Imperial Japan surrendered as well.
And there's jubilation around this earth.
Men returned home. Among them, some of baseball's most beloved names. Musial, DiMaggio, Williams. Life in the United States could return to normal.
I don't know. What's the guy's name on third base?
What's on second?
Who's on second?
Who's on first?
I don't know.
Third base.
And baseball was proof positive that democracy was real. A baseball box score, after all, is a democratic thing. It doesn't say how big you are or what religion you follow. It does not know how you voted or the color of your skin. It simply states what kind of ball player you were on any particular day.
And he did it. The home run. They knew he'd do it.
African Americans had served their country gallantly. But they returned home from fighting a war to free the world from tyranny only to find racism, segregation, and Jim Crow laws still waiting at home.
Segregation was the law and custom of the land, and no group was more scrupulous in its observance of custom than organized baseball.
There was a long road ahead.
A protest sign, keep Negroes out of our school.
If African Americans dreamed of playing baseball, it was not for the New York Yankees, but for teams like the Kansas City Monarchs of the Negro Leagues, where the barnstorming style of play stood in contrast to the majors. In 1946, there were 16 Major League Baseball teams with a total of 400 players on their rosters. Every one of the 400 players were white. But when opening day came in 1947, that number dropped to 399. And one man stood apart.
The image freezes as the first black Major League Baseball player darts for first base in dramatic silhouette. The following is based on a true story. Spring 1945. In an office of the Brooklyn National League Baseball Club, two men sit opposite aged Branch Rickey.
Gentlemen, I have a plan.
Plan's good, Mr. Rickey. You always have one.
My wife says I'm too old. My health's not up to it.
Rickey reads a newspaper.
Son says everybody in baseball is going to be against me. But I'm going to do it.
Do what, Mr. Rickey?
I'm going to bring a Negro ball player to the Brooklyn Dodgers.
With a wry smile, he turns to look at Clyde, the man who was just talking. The other younger man, Harold, rises sharply.
With all due respect, sir, have you lost your mind?
Clyde smirks.
Think about the abuse that you are going to take from the newspapers, let alone how this is going to play out in Flatbush. Please, Mr. Rickey.
Sit down, Harold.
Bespectacled Harold frowns and reluctantly sits back down, concern etched into his brow. Clyde has removed his hat.
No law against it, Clyde.
No. No, but there's a code.
Clyde nods.
You break a law and get away with it. Some people think you're smart. You break an unwritten law, you'll be an outcast.
Rickey nods philosophically.
So be it. New York's full of Negro baseball fans. Dollars aren't black and white. They're green. Every dollar's green. I don't know who he is or where he is, but he's coming.
Birmingham, Alabama, summer of 1945. A Negro League baseball game.
Runner, where'd you learn the moves like that? At a dime a dance night? Stand still.
The batter misses, and the runner makes third base as the catcher flings the fielder on third the ball. The runner shouts,
"Catcher! You gonna start throwing for real? You talking to me? You got a rag arm, catcher.
Stay home. You'll find out what kind of arm I got.
Okay. I'm coming."
To the batter.
Where you shortstop from?
California. Sure got a mouth on him.
The Birmingham pitcher flings the ball, and the Monarch's mouthy runner, Jackie, steals home, skidding into the catcher and knocking him off his feet. Interstate 24, Missouri, August 24, 1945. The Kansas Monarch's bus pulls up on a gas station forecourt, and a skinny white attendant stops working on a car. Wiping the oil from his hands with a rag, he turns to greet the arriving customers. The bus stops, and the all-black team alights.
Fill her up.
Yes, sir.
Jackie gets off and heads for the restroom.
You boys heading out?
Chicago.
Chicago, huh? You boys get around.
Yeah, we sure do.
The attendant sees him.
Hey, you, where are you going?
To the toilet.
Yeah, well, come on, boy, you know you can't go in there.
Having opened the toilet door, Jackie looks at it with a sigh and lets it close. He's a handsome, clean-shaven man in a short-sleeved check shirt and braces.
And Coke's or nickel.
The attendant leans against the bus as he fills it up. Jackie strolls back to the bus and looks round at the restroom. With his back to the attendant, he broods.
Take that hose out of the tank.
Robinson?
What?
I said take it out.
He turns to look at the attendant.
We'll get our 99 gallons of gas someplace else.
The attendant releases the pump handle and turns, leaving the hose hanging from the back of the bus. He narrows his eyes at Jackie, then looks away pensively. The bus driver and the other players watch as the attendant reconsiders.
All right, then. Go on. Go on! Use it.
At the office, Clyde proffers a file to Ricky.
Roy Campanella.
Hell of a player. He's too sweet. They'd eat him alive.
All right.
Harold knocks a pile of files over.
Sorry.
He puts them back.
Satchel Paige, then.
It's too old. We need a player with a future, not a past.
Jackie's file.
Here. Jack Roosevelt Robinson. Four-sport college man out of UCLA. That means he's played with white boys. Playing for the Kansas City Monarchs. 26 years old. He's batting 350. 350. Methodist. Commissioned Army officer.
He was court-martialed. He's the troublemaker. Oh, he argues with umpires. A quick temper is his reputation.
Well, what was he court-martialed for?
Wouldn't sit in the back of a military bus. Fort Hood, Texas. Driver asked him to move back. MPs had to take him off.
Well, yeah, you see?
I see he resents segregation.
Ricky closes the file.
If he were white, he'd call that spirit. Robinson's a Methodist. I'm a Methodist. God's a Methodist. We can't go wrong. Find him. Bring him here.
How are you, fellas? You know, I'm looking for your shortstop.
Jackie steps out of the gas station toilet to find an unfamiliar white man asking after him. It's Clyde. Clyde sees him.
You Jackie Robinson?
Jackie frowns.
Who are you?
Jackie sits in Ricky's office, dressed in a sharp suit.
Mr. Ricky, what's this about?
It's August 28th, 1945. Bespectacled Ricky shares a glance with Clyde and strolls to the window of the dimly lit room. He opens a blind. The light makes Jackie close his eyes.
This is about baseball, Jackie.
Jackie watches as Ricky paces.
I see you starting in spring with our affiliate in Montreal. If you make it there, try it down here. With the Dodgers.
Jackie looks up at him.
With the white Brooklyn Dodgers.
Ricky cocks a smile and nods.
I'll pay you $600 a month. And a $3,500 bonus when you sign the contract.
That agreeable?
Yes, that's fine.
There's one condition. I know you can hit behind the runner, that you can read a pitch. One question is, can you control your temper?
My temper?
Yes, your temper. What are you, deaf? A black man in white baseball. Can you imagine the reaction? The vitriol?
Ricky gestures with a raised hand.
Dodgers check into a hotel, a decent, good hotel. You're worn out from the road. Some clerk won't give you the pen to sign in with.
We got no room for you, boy. Not even down in the coal bin where you belong. Team stops at a restaurant. Waiter won't take your order. Didn't you see the sign on the door? No niggers allowed.
What are you gonna do then? Fight him? Ruin all my plans?
Jackie stares.
Answer me, you black son of a bitch!
Jackie stands up sharply and looks Ricky straight in the eye.
You want a player who doesn't have the guts to fight back?
Ricky falters.
No.
He shakes his head.
No. I want a player who's got the guts not to fight back. People aren't gonna like this. They're gonna do anything to get you to react. Echo a curse with a curse, and they'll hear only yours. Follow a blow with a blow, and they'll say the Negro lost his temper, that the Negro does not belong. Your enemy will be out in force, and you cannot meet him on his own low ground. We win with hitting, running, fielding, only that. We win if the world is convinced of two things, that you are a fine gentleman and a great baseball player.
Jackie looks down. Waving dismissively, Ricky turns to one side.
Like our savior, you gotta have the guts to turn the other cheek. Can you do it?
Brow furrowed, Jackie steps forward, and Ricky glances over his shoulder at him. They look at the names of prospective drafts on a blackboard. Jackie's is one of only three names highlighted with an asterisk. A calmness descends over him as he stares at his name.
You give me a uniform.
A smile flickers on his lips.
You give me a number on my back.
Ricky turns to look at him.
I'll give you the guts.
Pasadena, California. A beautiful black woman answers a telephone.
Hello?
Ray.
Jack?
He's on a payphone.
I'm in Brooklyn.
Her smile falters.
Brooklyn? For what?
I don't want to say on the phone. In fact, I'm not supposed to tell anyone.
What's going on? Aren't you supposed to be playing in Chicago?
We've been tested. You and me. We've done everything the right way. We have. Me trying to make money. You finishing school. We don't owe the world a thing. Only each other.
Jack, what are you talking about? What is going on? What happened?
Will you marry me, Ray?
Her eyes widen, and she nods emphatically.
Absolutely.
She beams, and Jackie mouths yes. He punches the air in celebration.
When?
How about right now?
Wearing a white wedding dress, Rachel Ray Robinson walks down a hotel corridor hand in hand with Jackie.
Did my mom look happy?
Yes. I know your mother loves me.
Did my gram look happy?
Yes.
Jackie unlocks their hotel room door.
My brother look happy?
Jackie frowns.
Your brother. Everyone looked happy. I've never seen so many happy-looking people.
Diminutive Rachel bites her lip.
Did Jack Robinson look happy?
He narrows his eyes and cocks his head back slightly. She purses her lips.
What if I can't make you happy?
Too late. You already do.
He shrugs.
It's you and me, Ray.
He bows theatrically, takes her by the hand, and twirls her into his arms.
Do the wheels fall off?
He embraces her from behind.
Oh, Jack, the world is waiting for us.
The world can wait one more night.
He scoops her up in his arms.
Are you coming, Mrs. Robinson?
She gazes into his eyes.
I'd follow you anywhere, Mr. Robinson.
Okay.
She closes her eyes coquettishly and he carries her into the room. A plane touches down in New Orleans Lakefront Airport.
Flight to Pensacola leaves in an hour. Flight to Pensacola leaves in an hour.
Rachel looks anxious.
Are you okay?
I've just never seen one before.
A bathroom sign, white only.
Oh.
She sneers at it.
Yeah, we're not in Pasadena anymore.
She forces a smile, then starts indignantly for the door.
Ray?
She enters the restroom.
Ray?
An airline clerk sees.
Ray!
The uniformed white woman wears a disapproving expression. At the restroom door, Jackie turns away with a worried look.
Oh, what?
Jackie and Rachel stand in front of the airline clerk.
We have to lighten the plane. There's some bad weather east of here. A heavy plane is dangerous.
She nods unconvincingly.
So someone will have to cancel.
Look, I'm with the Brooklyn Dodger organization. I have to get down to Daytona. I'm supposed to report the spring training in the morning.
We'll do our best to get you there by tomorrow afternoon, but it might be the day after.
Jack.
Jackie turns to see a man and a woman being led out of departures to the runway.
You gave away our seat.
The clerk glares.
You get us back on that plane. You get us back on that plane right now.
She proffers a telephone.
Do you want to call the sheriff? Or should I?
A Greyhound bus sedately motors up to a stop beside a fountain. Daytona Beach, Florida, the next day. The sports writer from earlier, a bespectacled black guy with a mustache, gets to his feet as the bus pulls up. He watches closely as passengers disembark. Jackie and Rachel get off, and the man smiles broadly.
Jackie Robinson. Wendell Smith.
They shake hands.
Pittsburgh Courier.
A reporter.
Wendell looks a bit awkward.
Mr. Ricky sent me to meet you. I'm going to be your Boswell.
My who?
Your chronicler. Your advance man. Hell, even your chauffeur. Mrs. Robinson?
It's Rachel.
Man, you two look wiped out.
You got a car?
Uh-huh.
They pull up on a sunny street.
Brooklyn plays downtown. Montreal, just a few blocks from here.
They get out of Wendell's car, a large two-tone green Buick Super with white wall tires. Jackie opens the back door for Rachel and she steps out. They look around at the pleasant neighborhood.
Joe and Duff Harris live here. Now he gets out the Negro vote. He does a lot of good for colored people. Now Mr. Ricky set it up himself. If the Robinsons can't stay at the hotels, they should stay someplace that represents something. Now, you'll stay here with the Harrises all but a few days at the end of the week when the Dodger organization goes to Sanford. It's about 45 minutes away. You'll stay here, though, Rachel. This will be your home when Jackie has to travel.
The Harrises come out of the house.
Where are the other wives staying?
Welcome to Daytona Beach.
There are no other wives.
Mr. Jackie Robinson.
You're the only one that Mr. Ricky allowed to spring training.
Surprised, Rachel smiles and nods.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. After you.
On the practice field.
Hell now, Skip.
All right, here we go, boys.
I got it. I got it.
Both players miss the catch.
That was a pretty big hop, man. You got the hop.
Spring training. That's where we work out our differences.
Leo DeRocher whacks the ball again. One of the team catches it this time. An open-topped car motors up to the training ground. Ricky is driving it. He pulls up, and Arosha walks over to him.
All right. Boys, continue to protect your ball players.
Morning, Lear.
Good morning, Mr. Ricky.
How are they doing?
Rusty, but we'll have them oiled up in no time, ready to go.
A player runs and catches the ball. Wendell comes over to Jackie as he puts his baseball gear on.
First day of spring training. Pittsburgh Courier readers need to know how it feels.
It's okay.
That's not exactly a headline.
It's all I got.
Look, Jack, right now, it's just me asking you. But when you step out on that field, it's going to be the New York Times and the sporting news. You should think about it.
If they ask something, I'll answer it.
Okay, well, here's one for you. What if one of these white pitchers throws at you?
Jackie shoots Wendell a look. Wendell looks around, frustrated.
Look, they're going to try to get under your skin. You need to be ready. Listen. You know how when you're at the plate, you want to see the ball come in slow? You want to see these questions come in slow, too.
Jackie marches onto the field. Press reporters.
Hey, Jackie, you think you can make it with these white boys?
I had no problems with white men in the service or at UCLA.
Yeah, what you gonna do if one of these pitchers throws at your head?
Yeah.
Hey, Jack. Yeah.
He looks back at Wendell, who gives him a look.
I'll duck.
Hey, Jack.
What's your natural position?
I've been playing shortstop.
You after Pee Wee Reese's job?
Reese plays for Brooklyn. Still trying to make Montreal.
Hey, Jackie, is this about politics?
It's about getting paid.
It's about getting paid. You hear what he just said? It's about getting paid. It's gotta be kidding.
Yeah, good luck, Hop.
Ricky introduces Jackie to Clay Hopper.
Clay? Jackie Robinson. Jackie, I'd like you to meet Clay Hopper, manager of the Montreal Royals.
Jack, they call me Hop. I ain't doing much today, just tossing the ball around, hitting a few. Hey. Probably toss you with those fellas over there.
Jorgensen, come here!
Jackie stands in a fielding position wearing a catcher's mitt. Puffing on a cigar, Ricky joins Hop, watching on the try line.
You're not playing him at shortstop, huh, Clay?
Oh, he's getting by. Quick release, his arm's too weak for short. I think second base is the spot.
I agree. Clay, I need you to get the other players to act like gentlemen around them. Treat them like they would any other teammate.
Mm-hmm.
Be natural. Work together in harmony.
Mm-hmm.
A batter hits the ball and Jackie catches it, flinging it to a catcher on base before the runner can make it.
Yeah! I'm practically superhuman.
Superhuman. I mean, don't get carried away, Mr. Ricky. There's still a nigger out there.
Ricky tries not to let his annoyance at the comment show.
Come on in now. Grab a bat, who's up?
Let's go, boys.
Jackie comes in. Ricky talks to Hop.
Clay, I realize that attitude is part of your cultural heritage. But you practically nursed race prejudice at your mother's breast, so I'll let that go. But I will tell you this. You will either manage Robinson fairly and correctly, or you, sir, can be unemployed.
Ricky gives Hop a stern look.
Yes, sir.
Ricky walks away.
Way to turn two, Jackie.
Sanford, Florida. An older black man sets some drinks down on his veranda as Jackie and Wendell wander up the path carrying suitcases.
Well, look at here. Jackie. Mr. Brock. Welcome to Sanford, Florida.
Thank you for having us.
The day belongs to decent-minded people. Wendell, it's good to see you.
Well,
the wife's inside cooking. You know what she asked me? She asked me this morning, what do you serve when a hero's coming to dinner?
Mr. Brock, I'm just a ball player.
Oh, no. You tell that to all the little colored boys playing baseball in Florida today. To them, you a hero.
Smiling, Wendell goes on into the house, leaving Jackie looking pensive. A sign, March 17th, 3 p.m., Brooklyn versus Montreal Royals.
There you go, ma'am.
A black woman buys tickets for the game and gives one to her son, who's about 10. The boy beams broadly and stops to admire the sign outside the stadium, City Island Park.
Ed, you stay where I can see you.
Mom, I'm 10 years old.
Come on.
They go in through the colored entrance.
Welcome to the interleague game between the Brooklyn Dodgers and their minor league affiliate, the Montreal Royals.
A guy hits the ball and another player catches it. The white folks in the stands boo while the black spectators applaud. Watching, Rachel turns to Wendell.
Jack's got a thick skin. He'll be okay.
Wendell looks concerned.
How about you?
I better get one in a hurry.
On the pitch, Jackie rubs dust on his hands. A white man with a mustache gets to his feet in the stands.
Look, there he is. Black is the ace of spades. Hey, nigger boy! What are you doing playing baseball?
Please, God, let Jackie show them what we can do.
Ed prays.
Please.
Out on the pitch, the pitcher shakes his head dismissively and spits as Jackie steps up to bat. Jackie takes a few practice swings, then the pitcher throws the ball. The catcher catches it and throws it back to the pitcher, who smiles. Jackie grins and nods at him. A fat white man in the stands calls out.
They're giving you a chance! Do something about it!
The pitcher throws again. Jackie still doesn't swing the bat, and the catcher catches it again. He throws it back to the pitcher. Hop calls to DeRosa from the dugout.
DeRosa, tell him to throw some strikes! Put him here!
Come on now!
Jackie takes a couple more practice swings and the pitcher throws again. Once again, Jackie doesn't swing at the ball.
Ball!
The pitcher.
Come on, Rook. Ain't you gonna swing at something?
Higbee, just settle down. Let's get the ball over the plate now, all right?
The pitcher, Higbee, throws again and still Jackie doesn't make a swipe at the ball.
Ball four!
Jackie puts his bat down. Watching, Wendell and Rachel both grin.
It's just a walk.
Who can blame him?
Jackie moves up the pitch.
Now coming to bat for the Royals, number 3, Spider Jorgensen.
Higbee looks at Jackie, who's creeping away from first base. The catcher calls to Higbee.
All right, Higbee, shake it off there. We got this, boy. Let's do it.
He makes some hand signals. DeRosa calls out from the dugout.
Throw it over there. What are you waiting for?
Higbee throws the ball to the fielder on first, but Jackie dives back before it gets there. His supporters clap. The fielder throws the ball back to Higbee, who glares at Jackie. Jackie starts to move away from first base. Aware of Jackie's movement, Higbee throws the ball for the batter, who doesn't hit it. The catcher throws the ball to a fielder at second base as Jackie skids up next to him. Ed and his mother applaud. Higbee looks annoyed. Jackie grins and gets to his feet. He waves to Rachel in the crowd. She smiles back. As Higbee prepares to throw again, Jackie gets ready to run. Higbee throws the ball to the catcher, who throws it to a fielder. Jackie stops running and goes back the way he came. The fielder throws the ball to a teammate ahead of Jackie. Jackie turns around and runs back again. The fielders toss the ball back and forth between them as Jackie runs between second and third base. Finally, he dives on the third base. The referee holds his arms out. Rachel is delighted.
Hey, all right!
Hop applauds, as does Ricky. Ricky notices he's the only one in the white stands that is applauding. Jackie tips his hat to an amused Rachel and Wendell in the coloured area. Higby marches back to the pitcher's mound, takes a breath, and prepares to throw for the batter. As he does so, he notices Jackie has moved away from third base. Higby feigns a throw. Jackie stays put. Annoyed, Higby calls to him.
Hey, don't you know nothing? You're supposed to get back when I step off.
He throws the ball to a fielder as Jackie scurries back to the base just in time.
What are you doing? You can dance with him later. Focus on the plate. Come on now. Work the plate. Work the plate.
As Higby prepares to throw, Jackie scuttles sideways, crab-like, away from the base. Higby notices what he's doing and turns his attention back to the batter. As he makes to throw the ball, he fumbles and drops it.
Come on! That's a ball! Runner! Hey, Paul!
Jackie moves up to the home plate.
Son of a bitch.
Jackie shakes hands with Hop.
Come to play a game to kill.
Ed's mother looks baffled.
What happened? I don't understand. The pitcher dropped the ball. It's a ball. Therefore, Jackie scores.
But he didn't do anything.
Mama, yes he did. He discombobulated the man.
What?
Mr. Brock.
Oof. Hope Jackie's sleeping all right. Chasing baseballs in the sun all day. Put me in my grave.
He's sitting on his veranda with Wendell. They have drinks.
How are you treating him out there?
Well, he's treating him okay. As far as I can see.
He frowns as he sees a black car with white wall tires pull up.
Well, you can find good people every place. Even here in Sanford.
A white guy's got out of the car. He leans on the fence.
Is he in there?
Mr. Brock and Wendell exchange a look.
Who is it that you're looking for?
The Negro ball player. Is he in there?
Wendell and Mr. Brock both look uneasy.
He's asleep right now. Maybe you want to come back in the morning.
No, I ain't coming back. Other fellas is coming. And they ain't happy that he's staying here in Sanford. Playing ball with white boys.
Wendell gets up.
Now let me tell you something, sir.
No, you listen to me, young man. You best just skedaddle on out of here. Because if they get here and he's still here, there's going to be trouble. You understand? Trouble. Trouble, 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 trouble.
The guy goes back to his car.
Mr. Brock, may I please use your telephone?
Wake him up and get him out of there. Put him in the car and start driving to Daytona Beach. Now. Wendell. Under no circumstances are you to tell him what this is about. I don't want him getting it in his head to stay there and fight.
Inside, Wendell hurriedly packs a suitcase. In his bedroom, Jackie sits down heavily on his bed and angrily throws a pair of socks in a case. Later, he sits glumly in the passenger seat of Wendell's car as they drive through nighttime streets. A car pulls out of a junction a little way ahead of them. The car in front slows to a halt outside a bar, forcing them to stop. Several white men come out of the bar and go over to the car ahead to talk to the driver.
Hey Jim, you escort that boy out of here?
Wendell notices with alarm that more white people are coming out of the bar and approaching their car.
I see what?
The men don't look friendly. Wendell floors it. He narrowly misses an oncoming vehicle.
What the hell, Wendell?
A man came by while you was asleep. He said more men were coming. It might have been those fellas. Mr. Ricky said to get you to Daytona Beach ASAP.
Why do you say so?
Well, Mr. Ricky was afraid that you wouldn't want to leave. You want to stay there and fight. Man, what in the hell are you laughing at?
I thought you woke me because I was cut from the team.
You got a strange sense of humor.
Day, Deland, Florida. A game is in progress. Jackie runs and slides up to a base.
Safe!
A police officer on duty props his hat back on his head as he watches incredulously.
Too fast, boy! Stop it!
Let's go, boy!
Let's get your officer!
Ball spotter, bring him in! Let's go!
The pitcher prepares to throw. He notices that Jackie is edging away from his base. The pitcher makes his mind up and throws for the batter, who whacks the ball. The fielders miss it and Jackie runs. He passes another base and collides with the catcher on the home plate, just as he catches the ball. The police officer to Jackie.
Get off the field.
What?
Get off the field. Now.
What?
It's against the law, that's why. No niggas don't play with white boys. Now you get off the field, or go to jail.
Hey, use that thing. You better hit me square between the
eyes. Hey, hold on now. What'd he do wrong? We ain't having no niggas mixed with white boys in this town. Y'all ain't upstates now. They got to keep separate. The Brooklyn Dodgers ain't changing our way of living. Where y'all from anyhow?
I'm from Greenwood, Mississippi.
Hell, boy, you ought to know better. Now you tell your nigger I said to get.
Jackie's with Rachel.
So what did you do?
Oh, I said, okay, Skipper, I'm a-gettin'.
You
don't want no trouble. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Then I took a cold shower. We lost 2-1.
Okay, Skipper. I'm a-gettin'.
No, you're not getting away from me.
Jack.
A white man marches determinedly towards them.
Get back, Ray.
I want you to know something.
Yeah, what's that?
I want you to know I'm pulling for you to make good. A lot of folks around here feel the same way. If a man's got the goods, he deserves a fair chance, that's all. Ma'am.
The man turns and walks back across the road. Jackie jogs out of a player's tunnel and onto a baseball field where Ricky stands wearing a straw hat and holding a bat.
You wanted to see me, Mr. Ricky?
Ricky gestures.
Bermuda grass grows so well here. I wish we could get it to grow like this up in Brooklyn.
Jackie steps beside him.
Yeah.
Jackie cracks a smile.
I like the way it smells when they mow it.
Me too.
Ricky turns to him.
Jackie, it is my pleasure to tell you that you have earned a place with the Montreal Royals. When they head north on Tuesday for opening day with Jersey City, you'll be on the train.
Jackie beams.
I won't let you down.
Yeah, I know you won't.
Bow tie wearing Ricky holds his gaze.
If you don't mind, I'd like to go tell my wife.
You give her my regards.
Jackie nods and starts back for the tunnel. Ricky looks on as Jackie stops and lingers for a moment.
Mr. Ricky, why are you doing this?
Ricky hefts the baseball bat.
I'm in the baseball business. You and the other Negro players I hope to bring up next year, I can put together a team that can win the World Series. And the World Series means money. You believe that, don't you?
He and Jackie lock eyes.
I don't think it matters what I believe. Only what I do.
Agreed. Therefore, I want you to worry those pitchers till they come apart. Run as you see fit. Sometimes you'll get caught, but that doesn't matter. Ty Cobb got caught plenty.
You just run those bases like the devil himself. Put the natural fear of God in them.
Jackie smiles and nods.
Yes, sir.
A train station platform.
Train for Atlanta, points north, now board. Train for Atlanta, points north, now board.
There he is.
Ed and his pals watch from the platform as Jackie leaves the station building and crosses to the waiting train.
Over.
Ed and his two friends are transfixed.
Young man!
Looking dapper in a beige suit and crisp white shirt, Jackie tosses Ed a baseball. Young Ed's face lights up. He and Jackie share a look as the train sweeps Jackie out of the station. The boys run after the train. The three boys race alongside the carriages as they gather pace. Ed sprints ahead as his friends lag behind, but the train accelerates and soon leaves him standing. He watches with a sense of wonder in his eyes as the train recedes into the distance. Ed's friends watch as he drops his catcher's mitt on the ground and kneels down, pressing one ear to the track.
I can still hear.
He calls back to the others.
I can still hear!
Fans pack the tiered seating around a baseball field. Jersey City, April 18th, 1946. Opening day of the International League season. Dirt is swept from the home plate as a military procession bearing the New Jersey State flag and the Stars and Stripes troops past the umpire.
Play ball!
Jackie practice swings with two bats. Wendell sits in the stands with a queasy-looking Rachel. Rachel brings a hand to her mouth.
Hey, you okay?
I think I might be sick. Excuse me, Wendell.
She gets up and leaves her seat. Skinny, bespectacled Wendell looks concerned. In the bathroom, she stands at the sink with the water running, looking unwell. A black woman at the neighbouring sink looks over.
You all right, honey? I'm sick. Don't know why.
The woman hands her paper towels.
Thank you.
Drying her hands, the woman lingers and cocks her head.
When would you have your monthly last?
Rachel looks round indignantly, but her angry look quickly fades and the woman bats her eyelids.
Maybe that you're pregnant.
Wearing a flowery hat and with a handbag under one arm, the woman bins her hand towels and leaves the restroom. Rachel gazes at her reflection in the mirror.
Now back from Montreal.
She climbs a ramp into the bleachers and looks out over the baseball field with a smile. Jackie's up to bat. Wendell watches.
Come on, Jackie. Come on, pal.
Jackie scratches at the dirt with one foot like a rooster. The catcher signals to the pitcher, pointing his index finger at the floor and tapping his right thigh. The gangly pitcher pitches. Jackie sends the ball rocketing into the air. People rise from their seats as the ball dips behind the perimeter fence, earning Jackie a home run. As the crowd goes wild, Wendell remains seated, typing feverishly on a typewriter in his lap. Jackie jogs round the bases at a leisurely pace. Hop smiles.
He made a superhuman after all.
Jackie shakes hands with a teammate by third base and meets Wendell's gaze as he runs. Wendell directs his attention to Rachel by the stairs, and she raises one finger with a broad, radiant smile. Jackie tips his cap to her and shakes hands with some more of his white teammates. Rachel's smile fades. Pasadena, California, 8 months later. Two white infants lie in hospital cribs. In an adjacent crib lies the Robinsons' newborn baby boy, Jackie Jr. Jackie Sr. gazes at him through a window from the next room.
Daddy left. He left us flat in Cairo, Georgia.
He leans against the sill.
I was only 6 months older than you are now. I don't remember him.
Jackie stands up straight.
Nothing good. Nothing bad. Nothing.
He nods earnestly.
You will remember me.
He cocks a smile and raises his eyebrows.
I'm gonna be here with you till the day I die.
Beverly Hills, February 16th, 1947. Leo DeRocher is in bed with a young woman when he's woken by the telephone.
Yeah.
Hello, Leo. What are you doing?
I'm bowling. Now, snowshoeing in the Alps. I'm trying to sleep, Mr. Ricky. It's still dark out.
Another spring training is upon us, Leo, in Panama. I need to know your attitude towards Jackie Robinson.
DeRocher sits up.
I don't got an attitude toward him.
Eight times in the Bible, we're told to love our neighbor as ourselves. It's one of God's most repeated commands.
Well, I don't know much about the Bible, but I didn't go to school just to eat my lunch either. I'll play an elephant if he can help us win, and to make room for him, I'll send my own brother home if he's not as good.
Now, what are you going to do with me?
We're playing for money here, Mr. Ricky. Winning is the only thing that matters.
Is he a nice guy?
Well, if by nice you mean soft, no. No, not particularly.
Good. He can't afford to be. Nice guys finish last.
What about nice girls?
So you have no objection to him?
None whatsoever. Can I go back to sleep now?
Yes.
All right.
Oh, and Leo.
What?
The Bible has a thing or two to say about adultery as well.
I'm sure it's got a lot to say about a lot. Good night.
He hangs up.
What am I going to do, Leo?
I thought you knew.
Jackie kisses his baby.
You want to take care of your mama? No. No, you better.
He kisses Rachel.
You want to take care of my mama?
Come here, baby.
He hands Jackie Jr. to Grandma Robinson and gives her a kiss. She goes indoors, leaving Jackie and Rachel on the doorstep. They hold hands.
Promise me you're right.
When have I ever not written?
He goes down a step so that they're eye to eye.
I want you to know I'm there for you, even if it's words on paper.
Ray, in my heart.
She smiles and looks away. She shakes her head.
You're getting close now, and the closer you get, the worse they'll be.
Behind him, she puts her chin on his shoulder.
Don't let them get to you.
I won't.
She pouts.
God built me to last.
I'll see you in Brooklyn in 8 weeks.
Might be Montreal.
He descends another step and Rachel stoops slightly so they can share a kiss.
It's gonna be Brooklyn.
She beams.
I know it is.
A taxi waits for Jackie on the road. Panama City, Panama, March 18th, 1947. Four Brooklyn Dodgers players are gathered in a hotel room.
Why do you think Ricky's got us playing spring games here in Panama? Huh? He wants us to get used to Negro crowds. He wants more of them than there are us, and he's hoping it'll make us more comfortable being around Robinson.
All right. Listen up. This is what I got.
Kirby Higbee reads.
We, the undersigned Brooklyn Dodgers, will not play ball on the same field as Jackie Robinson.
That's right.
Kirby Higbee.
Sign that.
All right.
Brooklyn Dodger Declaration of Independence.
That's right.
Bobby Bragan signs.
Give me that.
Hugh Casey is next in line. He takes the handwritten document and signs it. Wearing a Hawaiian shirt and sipping a bottle of beer, Dixie Walker watches. Casey proffers the document.
Y'all sure about this? You want to play ball with a nigga?
Having set down his beer, Dixie sighs and puts pen to paper. Day. The Montreal Royals file out to practice.
Skip's got you out left.
Hey, Robinson.
Clyde tosses Jackie a catcher's mitt.
What do you want me to do with this?
Well, you play first base.
Of course, I never played first base in my life.
Well, it's like this. Brooklyn's got a solid second baseman. We got Pee Wee Reese over at short. But first base is up for grabs.
A hotel room door.
Morning.
It's the indignant Dodgers.
Hey, Stank.
What's going on?
Well, we got a petition going on, Stank.
keep Robinson in Montreal, where he belongs.
Eddie Stank Stanky sneers.
Can't sign now, boys. I'm indisposed. How about I just catch up with you later?
He has his elbow in an ice bucket.
That ball's coming there a lot faster, Jack.
Clyde coaches Jackie.
The angle's a lot different in second. Take all the time in the world on second. You're getting it.
A ball boy.
Muchas gracias, sir.
Clyde bats balls for Jackie to catch.
That's like you have a suitcase on your hand there, Jack. A new glove. It's the big one there, Jack. You get used to it.
In the Panama Hotel, Higby's with Bragan, Casey, and Walker. He holds the petition out to their right fielder, Carl Farrillo.
Give me the pen.
Farrillo rests the document on a chest of drawers and signs. Clyde and Jackie.
You know, Mr. Ricky wants you to play conspicuous baseball.
He bats the ball towards Jackie, who catches it and returns it.
To be so good that the Dodgers demand to have you on their team.
Jackie catches another bouncer.
That's it. So I thought about it for a while. And I looked up conspicuous in the dictionary.
Clyde bats the balls off the ground, bouncing them at Jackie, who keeps catching them.
It means to attract notice or attention.
Jackie dives to make a catch and skids along in a cloud of dust. Clyde adjusts his cap.
Conspicuous.
Look, it's like this. I got a wife, I got a baby, and I got no money. So I don't want to step into anything. So you're going to skip me on this one, Dix. I'm not interested.
Yeah, well, if they decide to put him in shortstop.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's right, Pee-wee.
Well, I figure if he's man enough to take my job, he deserves it.
Oh, hell he does.
No, he does not have the ice water in his veins to play big league baseball, and you know it.
That's right.
So let him show what he's got. Robinson can either play or he can't. It'll all take care of itself.
I'm gonna cut you off, Jack. Put the right foot on the bag when it comes. There you go. That's nice, Jackie. Nice, Jackie. Pop that foot off. When that ball comes, that right foot, just pop that to just... Pop that. Don't leave that foot on there.
Night. DeRosha lies on his hotel bed with a telephone resting on his belly.
Yes, Mr. Ricky.
Have our friends in the press gone to sleep yet?
We are the only people awake on this entire business, Mr. Ricky.
About this petition, Leo. I think a deliberate violation of the law deserves a little show of force. I'll leave it to you, Leo. Good night.
Good night, Mr. Ricky.
He hangs up and claps an insect dead. Clyde's gathered the Dodgers.
What are you doing here in the middle of the night?
Leo said to get everybody together.
I'm sleeping good, Coach.
Down in the kitchen?
Wake up!
DeRosha makes a dramatic entrance, sweeping pots and pans onto the floor. They're in the hotel kitchen.
It has come to my attention that some of you fellas don't want to play with Robinson.
He looks around at the men, most of whom are in their night clothes.
But you've even got a petition you've drawn up and you're all going to sign. Well, boys, you know what you can do with your petition? You can wipe your asses with it.
Oh, come on, Leo.
Come on, what?
Ball players got to live together, shower together. You know, it ain't fair to force them on us like this. Besides, I got a hardware store back home.
Screw your hardware store, Dix. And if you don't like it, screw you. Mr. Ricky will be happy to make other arrangements for you.
DeRosha wears a black dressing gown. He turns to catch Higby scowling at him. Higby looks away.
I don't care if he is yellow or black or has stripes like a zebra. If Robinson can help us win, and everything I have seen says he can, then he is going to play on this ball club. Like it, lump it, make your minds up to it, because he's coming.
DeRosha is a squat, heavily built, balding, muscular man.
And think about this when your heads hit the pillows tonight.
He raises his eyebrows.
He's only the first, boys. Only the first. There are more coming right behind them every day, and they have got talent, and they want to play. Oh, yeah, they are going to come scratching and diving. So I would forget your petition and worry about the field, because unless you fellas pay a little more attention to your work, they're going to run you right out of the ballpark!
Higby shakes his head. Day, Bragan's in Ricky's office.
Bragan, most of your teammates have already recanted on this petition nonsense.
Are you really here to tell me you don't want to play with Robinson?
Yes, sir. My friends back in Birmingham would never forgive me.
Well, what about your friends in Brooklyn?
Reagan shrugs and looks at Ricky.
Then I will accommodate you. As long as you give me your word that you will do your very best for this team until I can work out a trade.
Wait, do you think I would quit on anyone? I don't quit, sir.
Only on yourself, apparently.
A huge Stars and Stripes hangs over the entrance to Penn Station. Jackie steps out and hails a cab.
Taxi!
Wendell is there.
Hey, Jack!
Jackie wanders across the street to him.
You again.
That's right, me again. There's something wrong with that, Jack?
Where's the car?
Right this way.
With a resigned air, Jackie slings his jacket over his shoulder and follows Wendell to his car. They drive through the nighttime streets of New York. Jackie looks out at the buildings they pass.
They can't keep you in Montreal for long. After these exhibition games, they're going to have to bring you up.
Jackie keeps looking out of the window and ignores Wendell.
You don't have two words to rub together, do you?
Jackie glances uncomfortably at Wendell, then turns the car radio on. Wendell irritably turns it off.
You ever wonder why I sit down behind third base with my typewriter on my knees? Does that ever cross your mind?
Jackie glances at him, then looks back out of the window.
It's because Negro reporters aren't allowed in the press box. So guess what? You, Mr. Robinson, are not the only one with something at stake here.
Jackie regards him wearily as they pull up.
I apologize.
Wendell takes his glasses off.
You've been there for me through this more than anyone besides Ray and Mr. Ricky. But I guess that's what bothers me.
How do you mean?
I don't like needing someone to be there for me. I don't like needing anyone for anything. I never have.
You a hard case, Jack Robinson.
Jackie stares fixedly out of the window.
Hey, is it okay if I keep driving you, or should I let you get out so you can walk?
Jackie looks round at Wendell and gives him a look.
Hmm?
Jackie smiles and indicates for Wendell to carry on driving. In his office, Ricky reads a newspaper article to Harold.
Ranch Ricky cannot afford to upset team chemistry. So the only thing keeping Robinson off the Dodgers now plainly is the attitude of the players. If it softens at the sight of Jackie's skills, he'll join the club sometime between April 10th and April 15th. Otherwise, Robinson will spend the year back in Montreal. Oh, for the love of Pete. He batted 625 in the exhibition games against them. Us. Them. Against us. Judas Priest. Jane Ann, are you out there? Ranch Ricky. Yes, this is him. The commissioner of what? Yes, put him through. Commissioner of baseball.
Branch, how are you?
Good, Happy. What can I do for you?
How'd you feel about losing DeRosa for the year, Branch?
I'm sorry, Happy. I thought you said lose DeRosa for a year.
I got a notice today from the Catholic Youth Organization vowing a ban on baseball if DeRosa wasn't punished for his moral looseness.
You're joking.
I wish I were, Branch, but it's this business of this actress out in California. She's recently divorced, and DeRosa's the cause. They say they may even be illegally married.
Now I know you're joking.
I'm not. The thing of it is, Branch, this CYO, They buy a lot of seats. They draw a lot of water, and I can't afford to ruffle their feathers. I'm sorry. Am I mixing my metaphors there?
Happy, you know very well my organization is entering a tempest. I need DeRocher at the helm. He's the only man that can handle this much trouble. In fact, he loves it. You're cutting off my right hand.
I have no choice. I'm going to sit your manager, Branch. Leo DeRocher is suspended from baseball for a year.
Happy, you can't do this, you son of a bitch!
Ricky's exasperated. DeRocher gets the news. He thumps a locker and clears his desk.
As the search continues to replace Leo DeRocher, I have it on good authority that former Yankee manager Joe McCarthy has turned down the request of Branch Rickey to take the reins of the Brooklyn Dodgers. He is not the only man to say no. And so, with the 1947 season about to begin, the Dodgers are still without a manager.
Rickey listens to the radio report in his darkened office.
Now we present once again Mary...
The phone rouses Jackie from his slumber.
Hello.
Mr. Robinson, this is Jane Ann in Mr. Rickey's office. He needs to see you right away. He has a contract for you to sign.
Contract for me to sign. Okay.
Jackie hangs up. As the message finally sinks in through his sleep-fuddled brain, he sits up sharply and grabs the phone.
Hello? Shh.
At Ricky's office.
Come on, you're good. Jane Ann. Harold, telegram the press. Say this. Today, the Brooklyn Dodgers organization has purchased the contract of Jackie Robinson from the Montreal Royals. He will report immediately.
Ricky hands Jackie a pen, and Jackie signs the contract as Jack Robinson. Ricky and his staff, including a smiling black guy in a red doorman's uniform, pose around Jackie for a photograph of the historic signing. The Manhattan skyline at night, with the Empire State Building at its center. It's the view from Jackie's hotel window. He stands looking pensively out across the city. Rachel steps over and hugs him. They both look out at the view.
I love you.
I love you.
They regard each other, then share a kiss. Day. Crowds make their way towards Ebbets Field Major League Baseball Park. Opening day, April 15th, 1947. In the locker room, a man puts letters in players' postboxes. Looking slightly apprehensive, Jackie comes in dressed in a suit. He looks around. Some players ignore him or give him sideways looks. An older man with a clipboard, Babe Hamburger, the clubhouse manager, comes over to him.
Hey, you're looking for your locker, aren't you, son? Follow me.
As they pass some other players, one steps forward and extends his hand.
I'm Romansky. Welcome to Brooklyn.
Greetings.
Hey, man. Ralph Branca.
Greetings.
Greetings.
Some of the players turn their backs.
I just found out today. The best I can do. I'll get you straightened out tomorrow, okay?
It's okay.
Jackie sees he hasn't got a locker, just a coat peg. His Dodgers baseball uniform is hanging on it. He picks up the shirt and turns it around. The number 42 is on the back of it. The other players watch him closely as he admires it. Amongst them, Higby shakes his head and gets on with his own stuff. Now in his baseball uniform, Jackie walks along the tunnel from the changing room and out into the stadium. He emerges into the light and pauses for a moment to compose himself. Pulling his baseball cap on, he walks onto the field of play. The people in the stands get to their feet and applaud. A gaggle of press photographers gather around him, snapping away. Jackie ignores them and looks around at the stands. Another player sitting in the dugout thumps his catcher's mitt. A group of hostile white men shout abuse at Jackie from the stands. Scanning around, Jackie spots Rachel in the stands holding baby Jackie in her arms. They smile at each other. A man sings the Star Spangled Banner before the game. The two teams stand in a line.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and the bright stars through the perilous fight.
Standing beside Ricky, Harold winces as his boss sings along. Wendell stands with his typewriter under his arm and his right hand clutched to his chest, a pose adopted by everyone in the stadium. Rachel stands holding baby Jackie, her expression serious. The players all clutch their caps to their chests as they stand at attention. Amongst them, Jackie stands staring into the distance. Ricky turns to Harold.
Another opening day, Harold. All future, no past.
It's a blank page, sir.
Hello again, everybody. The old redhead speaking here from high up in a catbird seat at Ebbets Field. Welcome to opening day of the 1947 Brooklyn Dodgers season. As many of you know, the Dodgers finished 96-60 last season. Respectable, but still two games behind St. Louis, who would of course go on to take the World Series. The Dodgers looking to move up this year and win the pennant. One out, bottom of the footing. Heading to the plate now for his first big league at-bat is Dodger rookie Jackie Robinson. Jackie is very definitely brunette.
The Dodgers still without a manager as Leo DeRocher was suspended earlier this week.
Jackie steps up to the plate and prepares to swing. Rachel watches proudly.
It's a shirt sleeve afternoon. Donnie Sane looking in, and he's got that fastball working. What I mean to say is he can toss a lamb chop past a hungry wolf.
Oh, and it's a hard hit ball down the third base line. Elliott is on it, doubles it up, and makes a long toss across the diamond. And Robinson is out.
Come on! I'll get some glasses!
Jackie was in.
It was a close play at first. The tie usually goes to the runner, but not this time. So, that first big league hit will remain to be seen.
Bert Schotten.
So the Giants got Mize batting cleanup.
He's talking with Ricky.
Shame about Leo.
Inevitable, I suppose. I asked him if she was worth it. He said yes. How's the retirement?
Oh, it's fine. You know, the roses are...
Hell of a thing when a man's got good health, plenty of money, and absolutely nothing to do.
I'm perfectly happy.
Is that so?
You know, when I took the Cleveland uniform off 2 years ago, I promised the missus I'd never put on another uniform again. So, the roses are beautiful, and I sleep better, too.
Roses and sleep are two wonderful things, Bert. But sleep you can get when you're in your casket, and flowers look great on top of it. But you don't look like a dead man to me, Bert.
What's this about, Branch?
I need you to manage the Dodgers for me, Bert.
No.
Now, we're a ship without a captain, and there's a typhoon coming.
I'm sorry. No.
Don't you miss the game, Bert? Working with the players,
helping to get the best out of the team. Come on, look me in the eye and tell me you don't.
Baseball's the only life for an old pepper pot like me. But I promised my wife, Branch.
You promised her you'd never put on a uniform again. You didn't promise her you wouldn't manage. Wear a suit and a tie like Connie Mack.
Bert looks tempted.
Come on, Bert. What do you say? Bert, I need you. What do you say?
Straighten up and fly right.
Bert comes into the locker room.
All right, men.
Jackie and the others look round at Bert.
I know you've all heard the news. I'm your new manager. I don't have much to say to you. Just don't be afraid of old Bert Schotten as your manager. You can win the pennant in spite of me. There's nothing I can do to hurt you.
He looks round at the players who regard him dubiously.
So.
He spots Jackie.
You Robinson?
Jackie nods.
I thought so.
They shake hands.
So let's get out there and beat those, who are we playing?
Giants, bro.
Giants. Let's go beat the Giants. Go.
A group of reporters watch the game.
Now batting, number 42, first baseman, Jackie Robinson.
Mark my words and circle this date. Negroes are going to run the white man straight out of baseball. I'm not prejudiced. It's physiological. They have a longer heel bone. Gives them an unfair speed advantage.
Jackie's up to bat.
Here's Robinson. Jack holds that club down by the end, rear foot at the back end of the box, slide up and stance, bend the knees.
He whacks the ball.
Jack ball is screaming out the left, hot tongue watching it go, and so long! Home run! Jackie Robinson has his first major league home run.
Was that because his heel bone was longer, Bob?
Bob looks put out. The other reporter starts typing. Brooklyn, April 22nd, 1947. A blonde woman races up the front steps of a terraced house. She lets herself in. Rachel's cradling Jackie Jr.
Sorry I'm late. Class ran long.
That's okay. It's so cold and raw out, I don't want him getting sick at the game.
She sets him down in his cot and grabs her jacket and handbag.
Oh, fed him already. All of his bits are on the table over there.
He'll be nice and warm in here.
Thank you, Alice.
At Ebbets Field, commentator Red Barber looks on from his high vantage.
Bottom of the first. Sky's all leaden now. Pretty threatening. Eddie Stanky safe at first. And Jackie Robinson stepping into the plate. There's a slight breeze coming in from right field, quartering towards left. It shouldn't give much of an advantage to the right-handed hitters.
Right, nigger!
Jackie frowns.
Black nigger! Hey, why don't you go back to the cotton fields where you come from? Huh? I thought you swing your way out of a jungle.
Chapman, the Phillies manager seems to be chirping something out to Robinson.
Oh, nigger,
Chapman,
nigger,
a
nigger,
hothead
nigger,
during
nigger.
His playing days with the Yankees, has carried that reputation right into his managing.
Sitting with Harold in the stands, Ricky looks away in disgust. Touching an ear, then his nose and mouth, Chapman, the Phillies manager, signals to his catcher. The catcher, in turn, signals to the pitcher.
You all right? You don't look all right. Nigga, nigga, nigga.
Jackie keeps his eyes on the pitcher as he prepares to bat. The pitcher pitches. The ball comes right at his head and he ducks, falling to the ground.
Welcome to the big leagues, Rook. Come on now, get up. Can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen, Rook.
Right, Bob?
Reagan looks uneasy.
That was a nice dance move, Bojang. Leave your hat on the ground. Maybe somebody will throw some money in it. Huh? Put on a little show, nigger. Do a little shuffle. On midnight.
All right.
All right, nigger. Let's do this. You gotta be careful in this sunshine. Ah, baby, skin gonna melt.
Back on his feet, Jackie narrows his eyes. The pitcher pulls the same stunt. Jackie drops to the ground to avoid being hit in the face.
Well, why don't you get that boy that's sitting down in the International League? Huh? That's where Afton play, ain't it? Who was that? Who'd you put out of a job, nigger?
Come on, Jackie.
Robinson waiting for the pitch. Swings, and it's a fly ball off the left.
A fielder catches the ball.
Nina settles under it and goes out.
Black spectators groan.
Sky's starting to clear now. His son pushing his way through.
Nigger can't play.
To Harold.
All right, he can take it.
Ricky nods.
God built him to last.
Higby gets up off the bench in the dugout, and Jackie takes his place, sitting down beside Bragan. Frowning intensely, but otherwise keeping his composure, Jackie removes his cap. He doesn't so much as look at Bragan, who glances at him, then looks away awkwardly. Pressing his lips together, Jackie gazes sadly at the field.
No score, bottom of the fourth. Spider Jorgensen taking a small lead off ice. Jorgensen, a rookie, spent last season in Montreal.
Stanky's up to bat.
Here's the pitch, and Stanky lines a single out to right field.
Jorgensen bolts for second base as Stanky runs to first. Jackie discards one of two bats, and Wendell takes a deep breath as Jackie approaches the plate.
Hey! Hey, Pee-wee! What's this nigga doing for you all that you let him drink out of the same water fountain as you? Huh? I hope you don't take showers with him, because you're going to be a mess!
Pee-wee Reese looks irritated.
Hey, nigga! You like white women? Huh? Hey, which one of these Dodger wives are you climbing on tonight?
Time!
Oh, hey, time out. Hold on. He's got to take a nap. Hey, which one is it?
I think I know. Dixie?
Dixie glares.
Sorry, Dixie. I hate to be the one to tell you. I saw her walking earlier with a little bit of a bow in her step. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. He looks like a nice boy. Is that right, boy? Come on, nigga, nigga, nigga!
Two men on for Robinson. Here's the pitch from Leonard. And it's a towering infield pop-up.
Jackie sends the ball sky high, and Chapman cranes his neck to see.
Semenik settles under it.
Hey, is that a home run?
Yeah.
If you played in an elevator shaft.
Ken Korn, and Robinson is out.
Jackie marches off.
You don't belong here, nigga! You hear me? Why don't you look in the mirror? This is a white man's game. All right, get that through your thick monkey skull!
Glaring at Chapman, Jackie trembles slightly as he fights to contain his rage. An anxious Ricky takes a cigar from his mouth. Rachel watches Jackie intently from her seat.
Look at me, baby.
Jackie looks down and shakes his head. Jackie turns on his heel and scurries down into the tunnel, where he smashes his baseball bat against the walls. He hurls his cap down in the dust and slumps against one wall before swinging at the other. He kneels down, holding one half of the shattered baseball bat. Ricky shuffles towards him.
No!
Jackie sits up, brandishing the splintered bat.
No. Thanks, white son of a bitch that opens his mouth, I'll smash his goddamn teeth in.
You can't do that, Jack.
Discarding the bat, Jackie touches his head to the floor, then looks up at Ricky.
I'm supposed to just let this go on.
These men have to live with themselves.
Jackie stands.
To live with myself, too. Right now, I'm living a sermon out there.
You don't matter now, Jack. You're in this thing. You don't have a right to pull out from the backing of people that believe in you, that respect you, that need you.
Is that so?
If you fight, they won't say that Chapman forced you to. They'll say that you're in over your head. That you don't belong here.
Do you know what it's like having somebody do this to you?
No. No. You do. You're the one living the sermon.
Ricky lifts his chin.
In the wilderness. 40 days. All of it.
He gestures at Jackie.
Only you.
Not a goddamn thing I can do about it.
Of course there is. You can get out there and hit. You can get on base and score. You can win this game for us.
He points.
We need you. Everybody needs you. You're medicine, Jack.
Ricky looks him fiercely in the eye, and Jackie shakes his head. He turns away and tries not to cry. Ricky rubs Jackie's back and gives him a hug, resting his head on Jackie's shoulder. Jackie staggers towards the light at the end of the tunnel and looks out. Ricky stands in silhouette.
Taking the field.
Boots troop by at the top of the steep steps out of the tunnel. Ricky approaches Jackie and stands beside him looking out. He turns to look at Jackie.
Who's playing first?
Jackie considers, then meets his gaze.
I'm gonna need a new bat.
Ricky pats him on the arm.
8-0, hang on the scoreboard for the Phillies, 7 for the Dodgers. No score with the bottom of the 8 coming up.
All right, nigga.
Jackie steps up to the plate.
Hey, boy.
He rubs dirt on his hands.
Porch monkey. Hey, nigga, I know you can hear me. You know what you're here for, don't you? Huh? You're here to get the nigga dollars for Ricky at the gate.
Stanky springs up and charges over to Chapman.
You don't belong here, nigga.
Sit down. You sit down or I sit you down.
What's the problem, Stank?
You're the problem, you goddamn disgrace. What the hell kind of man are you? You know he can't fight back. Why don't you try picking on someone who can fight back?
I'm not gonna fight you. You're thrown out of the game.
Stanky now having a chin wag with his ex-teammate Chapman. Both men masters of distraction. Stanky, of course, from second and Chapman from the dugout. We'll have to wait and see what the umpire does, since he's well within his rights to kick Stanky right out of the game.
Hey, 12! That's enough! Back to the dugout!
You shut your mouth, or I shut it for you. This ain't happening.
Stanky heads back to his dugout.
Hey, Stank, what's it like being a nigger's nigger?
I don't know, Chapman. What's it like to be a redneck piece of shit?
Jackie takes a few casual practice swings, then raises the bat behind his head and narrows his eyes.
Robinson up.
The pitcher draws back.
Here's the pitch.
Heads turn.
And Jack puts a soft hit past second.
A fielder scrabbles for the ball as it lands, and Jackie makes first base.
Not much of a hit to speak of, but Jackie is standing on first.
Okay.
Poised to right, Wendell smiles.
Mr. Pete Reeser steps up into the batter's box.
Jackie Crab walks away from first base.
Robinson with another big lead off first. He's just as restless as a cat with a hot foot.
The pitcher throws to first base, but Jackie dives back in the nick of time. He gets to his feet.
The Flatbush faithful voicing their approval of Jack, as this type of scrappy play is exactly what they've grown to expect of their beloved bump.
Keeping his eyes on the pitcher, Jackie once again steals away from first base, edging sideways in cheeky increments to gain an advantage.
See this, sweetheart. Take it.
Jackie is poised, half crouching, with his wide eyes focused on the pitcher. He waggles his fingers. The pitcher stares at first base, then pitches. The batter misses and the catcher hurls the ball towards second base. The fielder fails to make the catch and Jackie tears past him, skidding to a dramatic stop at third. Chapman cringes. Rachel and Ricky both grin.
The Dodgers with an excellent chance here as Robertson has practically willed himself into scoring position. Young Gene Hermanski steps to the plate, playing right today.
Hermanski raises his bat.
Come on!
Pursing his lips, Jackie starts edging away from his base again, glancing back cautiously as he does so. The pitcher ignores him and pitches at Hermanski.
Oh, and Hermanski cracks a single to left, and Robinson is able to trot home for the first run of the game that may also be the decider.
As Jackie jogs back to the home plate, Chapman turns away.
All right.
It's the penultimate pitch of the innings, and Jackie has earned Brooklyn the first run of the game. Jackie sits back down next to Stanky in the dugout. They both stare ahead, Stanky with his shoulders hunched. Jackie leans forward, resting his elbows on his thighs. He glances at Stanky, then stares ahead again.
Thanks.
Stanky frowns sardonically.
For what?
Stanky shrugs.
You're on my team. What the hell am I supposed to do?
Jackie looks down sadly. Stanky pays him a sideways glance, then gets up, patting him on the arm as he leaves the dugout.
That's it.
Jackie leans back in his seat. Chapman is interviewed by reporters in the visitor's locker room.
All this fuss over a rookie. What, he's got 10, 12 at-bats. Y'all gonna spoil him.
Yeah, Chapman, do you think it cost you the game?
Oh, I think that a single out to left field cost us a game.
You think you're a little hard on Robinson?
Huh. Look, we treat him the same way we treat Hank Greenberg, except we call him a kike instead of a coon. Whenever we play exhibitions with the Yankees, we call Joe DiMaggio the Wop. All right, they laugh about it. You know, he's forgotten when the game's over.
Alone in the showers, Jackie broods. Standing under the falling water with his eyes closed, he breathes a heavy-hearted sigh. Sharply dressed, Jackie walks with Rachel in a corridor beneath the stands.
I don't care if they like me. I didn't come here to make friends. I don't even care if they respect me. I know who I am.
Rachel's eyes glisten.
Got enough respect for myself.
He stares into space.
I do not want them to beat me.
They're never gonna beat you.
Jackie stops.
They came close today.
He turns to face Rachel. Cupping her cheeks, he rests his forehead against hers and closes his eyes. She clasps his wrists in her hands. Harold bursts into Ricky's office and hurls his hat down furiously.
I'm going in that Phillies dugout tomorrow. I'm going to wring Ben Chapman's neck. Did I say something funny?
When I first told you about Robinson, Harold, you were against it. And all of a sudden you're worried about him. Wonder how that happened.
Any decent-minded person would.
Sympathy, Harold. It's a Greek word, means to suffer. I sympathize with you means I suffer with you. That Philadelphia manager is, he's doing me a service.
Service?
Yes. He's creating sympathy on Jackie's behalf. Philadelphia's Greek. Means brotherly love.
Bob Reagan to see you, Mr. Ricky.
What in Satan's fire does he want?
Ricky pushes a button.
All right, send him in.
Harold sits. Ricky leans back in his chair and crosses his legs as Reagan enters with his hat held meekly in front of him. He stands timidly like a schoolboy in the headmaster's office.
What do you want, Reagan?
Mr. Ricky, I would like,
What do you want?
I'd like to not be traded, sir. If it's not too late.
What about Robinson?
The world's changing. I guess I can live with the change.
I mean, I can't believe it. I speak my mind, and they trade me.
Higby looks at Jackie.
This ain't the America I know. Home of the free, land of the brave. You hear me?
What are they sending you, Hig?
Pittsburgh. For cash and some Italian outfielder named John Frito. Pittsburgh. I mean...
Outraged, Higby packs his stuff.
Good luck, boys. You're gonna need it.
He heads out of the locker room.
Pittsburgh.
The Philadelphia general manager, Herb Pennock, calls Ricky.
Branch, it's Herb.
Hello, Herb. What can I do for you?
Branch, how long have we known each other?
Oh, 20 years, maybe more.
Ah,
That's right. Been over some
solid road together. So, you can trust me when I tell you Brooklyn's due here tomorrow. But you cannot bring that nigger down here with the rest of your team.
Ricky looks astonished.
Why is that, Herb? His name is Jackie Robinson, by the way.
Yeah, Branch, I understand he's got a name, but we're just not ready for that sort of thing here in Philadelphia. Now, I'm afraid that we're not going to be able to take the field against your team if that boy's in uniform.
Well, what you do with your team is your decision, Herb. But my team's going to be in Philadelphia tomorrow with Robinson. And if we have to claim the game as a forfeit, so be it. That's 9-0.
In case you forgot.
You know what, Branch? You've had a hell of a hair across your ass over this for a long time, and I'd like to know what it is you think you're trying to prove.
You think God likes baseball, Herb?
What the hell is that supposed to mean?
It means someday you're going to meet God, and when he inquires as why you didn't take the field against Robinson in Philadelphia, and you answer that it's because he was a Negro, it may not be a sufficient reply.
Ben Franklin Hotel, Philadelphia, May 9th, 1947. The Dodgers tour bus pulls up outside the hotel. On seeing it, a bellhop hurries inside. Harold gets off the bus.
Okay, guys, we got 20 minutes to check it in, get the shives, a chop chop.
Hey! Hey! Out! And get that bus out of here.
Oh, no. We have reservations. We're the Dodgers.
No, your team is not welcome here. Not while you have ball club Negroes with you.
You just mean that Robinson can't stay here, right?
No, I mean your entire team has been refused.
We've been staying here for 10 years.
Stay away that long, too.
Oh, hold on. We should talk about this.
Who put you up to this? Is there the Phillies behind us?
They're not going to let us stay here, fellas.
So this is your...
They don't want us here.
Yeah, well, maybe 42's got enough friends in town. We can bunk up.
Jackie bridles at Dixie's jibe.
What's that supposed to mean?
Not supposed to mean a thing. I just know when you can't get into hotels, you got people's houses you can stay at. Ain't that right?
What? What do you want from me, Walker?
An apology.
You want an apology? For what? For places like this?
No.
For turning this season into a damn sideshow.
Hey, fellas.
I'm a ball player, all right? I'm here to play ball.
So am I. I'm here to win. All we want to do is win. We're on the same page?
Yeah, well, how the hell are we supposed to win sleeping on a bus?
Yeah, well, maybe it'll do you some good the way you've been swinging the bat lately.
Hey, you watch your mouth! Hey,
watch your ass!
Don't you ever talk to me like that again!
Watch your ass! Take it easy, baby!
Stop it!
Now, if you
spit on me now...
If I spit on you, it'd be an improvement!
All right, that's it! Go! All right, that's enough! Hey, get used to it, fellas. This is going to be every time we show up, the circus is in town.
I'm not going anywhere!
All right, Jack.
I'm right here!
There is a great lynch mob among us. They go unhooded and work without a rope. That's you, not me. We must remember that all this country's enemies are not beyond the frontiers of our homeland.
A Jew probably wrote
that. I don't care who wrote it. It's in the damn papers!
Herb Pennock is confronting Ben Chapman in his office. He sits at his desk.
This is not good, Ben. Makes the entire Phillies organization look racist. You got to do something about it.
Me? Look, I'm defending baseball.
It's time for you to step up and defend the Phillies. This started on the field, it's going to end on the field, and we're done talking about it.
At the stadium, Harold comes into the visitors' locker room and finds Jackie, who's getting ready for the game. Wendell is with him.
Excuse me. Jackie, Wendell. A request came in. Ben Chapman, he's the manager for the Phillies. You knew that. He'd like his photo taken with you.
Jackie's astonished.
You've been drinking, Harold?
No. I wish. No, Mr. Ricky, he thinks it's a good idea. He says it's going to be in every sports page across the country. An example that even the most hardened man can change.
Jackie looks dubious.
Chapman hasn't changed. He's just trying to save face.
Mr. Ricky says it doesn't matter if he's changed. As long as it looks like he's changed.
Jackie, you've seen the questions come in slow? I just see this photo come in even slower.
Chapman said he'd come down here. Or, he could meet you in the runway.
No.
Jackie gets to his feet and comes over to Harold.
On the field. Where everyone can see.
Did World War III break out? Look at all of y'all. They even dug you up, Bob. This must be important. Listen, I want to say something. Jackie's been accepted into baseball, and the Philadelphia organization wish him all the luck that we can. I just hope that our trial of fire has helped him along.
How about a picture? Shake hands. Bury the hatchet.
You want to bury the hatchet? Sure.
Yeah, I'm good at this.
Yep. We'll use the bat. That way we don't have to touch skin. All right.
Come on, fellas. I do it.
It's good right there.
As they clutch the baseball bat between them, Jackie and Chapman grin amicably. Their photo appears on the cover of Sporting Life.
Fritz Ostermueller on the mound.
Pittsburgh, May 17th.
Ostermueller, deliberate. What I mean to say is, he's one of the slowest working pitchers in the game.
The catcher signals, pointing down with his index finger, then tapping the inside of his thigh with his thumb. Jackie readies himself.
Here's the windup, and...
He hit Jackie Robinson right in the head. And Jackie is down.
The Dodgers storm the field.
Ostermueller, you creep! You got a bat, too, don't you forget it!
Hey, I'm ready, you wild bastard!
Oh, yeah? Wild bastard? It's going right between your eyes. I'm going to come like a comic.
Hey, don't you belong here! Hey, don't you belong here!
All hell breaks loose with the umpire trying to keep Ostermueller and Branca apart with the help of the other players. Jackie lies sprawled in the dirt. Bewildered, he sits up. Branca hurls abuse at Ostermueller as he's dragged back by two of his teammates. Jackie looks dazed. On a bus, Jackie comforts Rachel as she sobs quietly on his shoulder. Jackie's forehead has been stitched. Rachel turns her face away and he strokes her cheek. Her face crumples and she leans into him again.
They're just ignorant.
She takes tremulous breaths and exhales.
If they knew you, they would be ashamed.
She blinks, then screws up her face again as she tries to fight back tears. Ricky sits smoking in his office. Pee-wee enters holding an envelope.
What can I do for you, Pee-wee?
Well, Mr. Ricky, it's like this. Series in Cincinnati next week?
Yes. Important road trip. We're only three games out of first.
Yes, sir. Well, you know I'm from Kentucky.
And Cincinnati will nearly be a home game for you.
Well.
Pee-wee looks at the envelope.
I got this letter. Apparently some people aren't too happy about me playing with Robinson.
Ricky opens the letter and skim reads.
Nigger lover. Watch yourself. Get your carpetbagger.
He smirks.
Pretty typical stuff.
Well, it's not typical to me, sir.
Ricky flashes a condescending smile and rises from behind his desk. He crosses the room.
How many of those letters have you gotten, Pee-wee?
Well, just the one. Ain't that enough?
Ricky slaps a thick folder down. And another.
What are those?
Well, I tell you what they aren't. They aren't letters from the Jackie Robinson fan club.
He drops a third fat folder on top of the others, and Pee-wee picks up a handful of the hate mail.
Get out of baseball or your baby boy will die. Quit baseball or your nigger wife.
Reading the poison pen letters, he frowns disapprovingly.
Get out of the game or be killed.
Ricky's now sitting at his desk.
Does Jackie know?
Well, of course he does. And the FBI. They're taking a threat in Cincinnati pretty seriously.
So excuse me if I don't get too upset about you being called a carpetbagger. You should be proud.
Pee-wee raises his eyebrows and looks Ricky in the eye.
Well, I'd just like to play ball, sir. That's all.
Oh, I understand. I bet Jackie just wants to play ball. I bet he wishes he wasn't leading the league in hit by pitch. I bet he wishes people didn't want to kill him.
Ricky leans back.
The world's not so simple anymore.
Guess it never was. We just, baseball ignored it. Now we can't.
Pee-wee looks thoughtful, then nods earnestly.
Yes.
Crosley Fields, Cincinnati, June 21st, 1947. The Dodgers take to the field. As Pee-wee runs out, a young boy in the stands, Freckles, turns to his father.
How many times do you think Pee-wee's gonna score today?
Well, I don't know, son. I remember when I was a kid, I saw Honus Wagner play. Scored three times that day. I'll just have to wait and see.
Wow, that would be great.
Jackie comes out to riotous disapproval from the stands. Freckles' dad... Freckles looks uneasy, then joins in.
Nigger! We don't want you here!
Cincinnati fans expressing their displeasure as the Dodgers take the field.
Jack Robinson at first, Brad Eddy Snaggy at second, Buddy Jorgensen at third, and the captain, Pee-wee Reese at short.
Playing defense, the Dodgers are warming up on the field. Jackie tosses the ball to Pee-wee and prepares to catch it, but Pee-wee doesn't throw it back. Jackie furrows his brow as Pee-wee runs over to him.
Think they all they want. We're just here to play ball.
Jackie looks around.
It's just a bunch of crackpots still fighting the Civil War.
Well, hell, we'd have won that son of a gun if the cornstalks would have held out. We just ran out of ammunition.
Jackie's wide-eyed.
Better luck next time, Pee-wee.
Pee-wee puts his arm around Jackie.
Ain't gonna be a next time, Jack.
All we got's right here. Right now, you know what I mean?
Thank you, Jack.
What are you thanking me for?
Pee-wee gestures up at the stands.
I got family out there from Louisville.
He keeps his arm around Jackie.
I need them to know. I need them to know who I am.
He looks Jackie in the eye. Freckles looks thoughtful and a little ashamed. Bronco looks on with a smile from beside the dugout.
Hey, number one! You playing ball or socializing?
Jackie grins.
Playing ball, huh?
Play ball!
Playing ball.
He gives the ball to Jackie.
Maybe tomorrow we'll all wear 42. That way they won't tell us apart.
Flashing a toothy grin, Pee-wee gives Jackie a friendly pat on the shoulder with his leather mitt and jogs back to his spot by second base. Jackie looks pleasantly surprised. In the locker room after the game, Jackie sits on a bench with his shirt off. Bronco paces nearby with a towel wrapped around his waist. He raises his eyebrows.
All right, let me ask you something, Jackie. How come you never shower until everybody else is done?
Expressionless, Jackie looks up at him.
What, are you shy?
Jackie glances left and right, then purses his lips.
I don't want to make anyone feel uncomfortable.
We're a team, on a hot streak. Come on, half those wins are on account of you. You're the bravest guy I ever saw.
Jackie meets his gaze.
You're leading us. You afraid to take a shower?
Bronco flashes a cynical smile, and Jackie looks at the floor. Bronco loiters, pacing back and forth.
Come on, take a shower with me, Jackie.
Jackie raises his eyebrows, and Bronco suddenly looks nervous.
I didn't mean...
Bronco blanches, and Jackie looks amused.
That came out a little wrong. I was not saying just take a shower with me. I was saying, why don't we all go and take a shower? Like, why, as a team, why don't we shower together?
Bronco.
Yeah.
Jackie smiles.
Stop.
Yeah. I'm stopping.
Jackie leans forward, resting his elbows on his knees. In the adjacent shower room, the others are getting cleaned up. Dixie scrubs his underarms and chest as Bronco enters, patting a teammate on the shoulder. Behind him is Jackie. Dixie looks round to see Jackie approaching the next shower along. Whisking his towel down from his showerhead, Dixie lopes out. Jackie turns his shower on and puts his head under the water. Brooklyn, August 20th, 1947.
We're in the last of a four-game series with the Cardinals, and these two teams are in a dogfight for first.
Top of the 11th now, all tied up at two. Those of you just tuning in, how did we get here? Well, it's been double trouble, as Robinson knocked in Stanky with a double in the third.
Shoot two! Shoot two!
And Dixie Walker did the same with a double in the eighth.
Jackie bats, then Dixie.
Second base! Second base!
But it wasn't enough, as the Cardinals tied it up with two of their own in the ninth. This game is crucial to the Redbirds. They are five games out, with the Dodgers not having relinquished first place since June 30th. They call him country, Suarez hitless in four trips. Climber Casey in his second inning relief. This game is just as tight as a new pair of shoes on a rainy day. Casey goes into his windup. Slaughter hits a hot ground ball right at Reese, who fires it over to Jack at first.
Slaughter stamps on Jackie's calf.
Robinson is down. Slaughter spiked him high up on the leg, and he is down.
God damn it, Slaughter! You know what you're doing? You spiked my guy!
Yeah, Jackie. Maybe our boys can run.
Just stay out. The team doctor will be right out. Gil, next guy up, you hit him right in the head, all right?
No, no,
please,
no, no,
clock.
No.
Give me up.
No, give me up!
Stanky, Casey, and Pee-wee help Jackie to his feet and dust him off.
Just get him out.
He grits his teeth.
Just get him out. Understand?
Stanky cocks his head.
Game's too important.
Jackie takes back his glove.
Just get him out. Play ball.
You're a tough man, Jackie.
Just get him out.
Jackie, what are you saying? He spiked you on purpose?
He saw the play. My foot was on the inside of the bag. He was out by a mile, but he kept coming.
So it was on purpose.
Slaughter said it was an accident.
Yeah.
What are you asking me for, then?
Are you calling Slaughter a liar?
Is he a liar, Jackie?
You calling him a liar? What are you going to write?
Saying, get out of here! Get
out!
Come
on, Ricky, let him finish this
story. On, go on. Let me talk to my first baseman.
Is he a liar, Jackie?
Go!
All right.
Getting stitched up, for Pete's sake.
Just trying to do our job, Ricky.
The Trilby-wearing news reporters troop out. Jackie's lying prone on the trainer's table, having his leg wound stitched up.
Looks good, babe.
Thank you, sir.
Sticking up for himself is something you'd expect of any man.
Ricky closes the door.
Some find it galling in a Negro.
Jackie rolls onto his back, and the medic leaves them to it. Ricky wears a grey suit and hat, a bow tie and round spectacles. He sits down on a chair at the end of the table.
You know what I saw this morning? I was passing a sandlot. Little white boy was up at bat. You know what he was doing?
Jackie stares at the ceiling.
Sitting on a fastball? He was pretending he was you. Rubbing dirt on his hands. Swinging with his arms outstretched. Like you do. Little white boy. Pretending he is a black man.
Ricky smiles, but Jackie looks troubled. He glances up at Ricky, who's leaning over him.
Why'd you do this, Mr. Ricky?
Ricky turns away. Ricky sits up straight with his head bowed, then rises to his feet. Stepping to the side of the table, he wags a finger.
We had a victory over fascism in Germany. It's time. Time we had a victory over racism at home.
No. Why? Why'd you do it?
Jackie sits up and Ricky avoids his gaze.
Come on. Tell me.
Ricky suddenly looks earnest.
I love this game. I love baseball.
He sits on the adjacent table.
Given my whole life to it.
His eyes light up as he talks.
40-odd years ago, I was a player coach at Ohio Wesleyan University. We had a Negro catcher, best hitter on the team. Charlie Thomas, fine young man. Saw him laid low, broken, because of the color of his skin, and I didn't do enough to help. Told myself I did, but I didn't. There was something unfair at the heart of the game I loved, and I ignored it.
Jackie listens. Ricky raises a finger.
But a time came when I could no longer do that.
He points at Jackie.
You. You let me love baseball again.
Ricky smiles and hangs his head bashfully.
Thank you.
The sun shines down on Jackie's terraced street, in the apartment.
Last long road trip of the year. Two long faces, huh?
Jackie packs a suitcase. Wearing a skimpy black camisole, Rachel takes Jackie's baseball cap, then kneels on the bed and puts it on. She gazes seductively at Jackie, who stops what he's doing and takes notice.
Try not to lunge at the plate.
He puts his hands on his hips.
You serious?
That's why they're throwing the fastballs inside. Fight those inside fastballs off. Sooner or later, they won't be able to help but throw a curve.
And what'll happen then, coach? Is that right? Well, you know, if we win enough of these next games, we bring home the pennant.
She strokes him.
You bring yourself home. That'll be plenty.
He kisses her bosom.
Yeah, my heart.
Wendell types in an apartment.
Since the 4th of July, the Brooklyn Dodgers have gone on a hot streak, holding off all challengers. During that time and during this season, I have watched Jackie Robinson submerge himself to serve something greater.
Jackie plays.
And I don't mean the Brooklyn Dodgers, though he's doing that too.
He runs for a catch.
The man flat out has guts. A stand-up force of nature, he's complicated everything but himself. He's changing the world and refusing to let it change him. But baseball isn't tennis.
Bronca steadies him.
It takes a team.
As he dives over the dugout.
Joining together was a start.
He makes the catch.
Staying together, a big step forward. But working together is how you win.
Out!
Jackie's on his back.
Jackie, you son of a gun, I can kiss you!
Nice catch.
Yours or mine?
Down the stretch on the last long road trip of the year, Jackie Robinson and the Brooklyn Dodgers are doing exactly that. They're holding off the Cardinals and streaking towards the pennant.
Harold calls Ricky from a payphone.
Boss, we did it. We did it. We swept Cincinnati.
Great, Harold. One more win could do it. Who's pitching tomorrow for the Pirates?
Ostermueller.
Pittsburgh, September 17th, 1947.
Fritz Ostermueller on the mound. He's 12-8 on the season. A big game today in Pittsburgh. A win and the Dodgers will have clinched the National League pennant. The Yankees having already clinched in the American League. There's bad blood here as Ostermueller beamed Robinson in the head earlier in the season, prompting quite a rhubarb at the time.
Jackie rubs dirt on his hands.
Two teams have gone their separate ways since, with Ostermueller now all that's left standing in the Dodgers' way as they chase the pennant that eluded them last year.
Come on, Jackie, let's go.
Their manager, Shotten, watches from the dugout with the others. Ostermueller winds up.
Here comes the pitch, and Robinson takes outside, ball one.
Come on, Fritz, let's get this boy. You don't belong here, and you never will.
Robinson crowding the plate. Jack hasn't backed down to a pitcher all season.
Stanky hollers.
You got nothing for him, Ostermueller, but he's got something for you.
Ricky listens in the empty Dodgers stadium.
Ostermueller winds and throws, blow it away, ball two. Fritz seems to be pitching around, Jackie, or is a trying to get him to chase. Robinson's having a 5-rookie standoff, batting 3-1 with 31 doubles and 10 home runs. He's stolen 27 bases this season and has yet to be thrown out at Temple. Needless to say, Ostermueller being careful with him.
People tune in on a Brooklyn street.
It's 3-0 now. Robinson's patient, waiting for something he can swing on.
Give me something.
He looks at Ostermueller.
Give me something I can hit. You want it? What are you afraid of?
The catcher returns the ball to Ostermueller, who nods and steps back to the mound. Holding his gaze, Jackie swings casually in preparation.
What are you afraid of?
Ostermueller looking in for the sign.
Be careful what you ask for, boy.
With a steely glint in his eye, Jackie grips the bat tightly and raises it aloft.
And here comes the pitch. Oh, and that's a deep fly ball to left. Ginormous horse, I don't think he'll get there. Back, and Tucker! Robinson got his pitch. It's a home run. And barring a miracle comeback, the Dodgers are going to the World Series. Yes!
People in the black Brooklyn neighborhood celebrate on the street and congratulate Rachel as she passes by with the pram. Ostermueller glowers at Jackie from the mound, and Higby lashes out angrily in the dugout.
Pittsburgh!
Jackie does a leisurely victory lap of the bases.
Yes!
Go, Jackie!
In the dugout, everyone but Dixie claps.
Jack in his home run trap now, and even the home crowd here at Forbes recognizing something special when they see it. All the same, I can practically hear the roar from the heart of Flatbush back in Brooklyn.
Jackie jogs over second base. At home in the empty stadium, Ricky takes off his hat and bows his head. Jackie smiles broadly as he runs. Barbara grins and claps at the microphone. As Jackie rounds third base, Clyde waves him on in encouragement. In the stands, an astonished Wendell laughs and starts tapping away at the typewriter in his lap.
Robinson rounds third. Headed for home. Sweet home.
He looks up. Jackie keeps running. The next day, he unties a bundle of copies of the New York Times and picks one up. The front page headline reads, "Hail to those Brooklyn bums." He's pleased as punch. Slow motion footage of Jackie running for the home plate. Jackie jogs along his street in the summer sun to find Rachel waiting for him on their doorstep. On the field, Jackie slows down as he approaches the batter's box, where he proffers a hand to Pee-wee. The men shake. On the Brooklyn street, Rachel throws her arms around Jackie. He lifts her off the ground and spins her around. He sets her down, and they share a passionate kiss. Wendell claps in the stands as, on the field, Jackie takes off his baseball cap and salutes the crowd. Ricky sits in his office. He stares thoughtfully at a baseball as he turns it in his hand, a cigar smouldering between his fingers. He smiles.
Life is a ball game.
Branch Rickey was elected to the National Baseball Hall of Fame in 1967.
Everybody can play.
Yes, Pee-wee touches ball to base and gets a player out. Pee-wee Reese was elected to the National Baseball Hall of Fame in 1984.
The first place is temptation.
Wendell Smith became the first African-American sports writer to join the Baseball Writers Association of America in 1948. Eddie Stanky went on to manage the St. Louis Cardinals, the Chicago White Sox, and the Texas Rangers.
And Satan pitching a game.
Ralph Branco was a three-time All-Star. He won 21 games in 1947. He lives and works in Rye, New York.
You know Daniel's up to bat first. You know he prayed three times a day.
In 1948, Ben Chapman was fired and never managed again.
Yes, you know Joe is up to bat next.
Dixie Walker was traded the following season. Pittsburgh.
Run, and he came on in that day.
Yes, standing on the train tracks, young Ed bats a bit of gravel with a plank of wood. Ed Charles grew up to become a Major League Baseball player. He won the World Series in 1969 with the Miracle Mets. Yes, you know Moses is on the sidelines. A photo of the real-life Jackie and Rachel. Rachel Robinson started the Jackie Robinson Foundation in 1973. It provides students with scholarships to colleges across the country. Jackie Robinson was named Major League Rookie of the Year in 1947. In 1948, he was joined by Roy Campanella, and in 1949, by Don Newcomb. He won the World Series in 1955 against the New York Yankees, stealing home in Game 1. He was elected to the National Baseball Hall of Fame in 1962. Every year in April, all MLB players wear the number 42 as a reminder of Jackie's accomplishments on and off the field. The number 42 is the only number retired by all of baseball. Audio description by John Walskill and Sam Clark at Deluxe was read by Sam Clark. Written and directed by Brian Helgeland. Produced by Thomas Tull. Executive producers Dick Cook, John Jashny. Executive producer Jason Clark. Co-producers Daryl Pryor, Gillian Zaks. Director of Photography Don Burgess, ASC. Production designer Richard Hoover. Edited by Kevin Stitt, ACE. Peter McNulty. Costume designer Caroline Harris. Visual effects supervisor Jamie Dixon. Music by Mark Isham. Music supervisor Peter Afterman, Margaret Yen. Casting by Victoria Thomas. Chadwick Boseman. Harrison Ford. Nicole Behari. Christopher Maloney. Andre Holland. Alan Tudyk. Lucas Black. Hamish Linklater, Brett Cullen. Ryan Merriman, Brad Beyer, Gino Anthony Pacey. T.R. Knight, Max Gale, Toby Huss, James Pickens Jr., Mark Herelick, Derek Phillips, Jesse Lucan. A Brian Helgeland film. 42. Second Unit Director Alan Graff. Unit Production Managers Mark Kameen, Jason Clark. First Assistant Director, Co-Producer Eric N. Heffron. Second Assistant Director Craig Comstock. Visual Effects Producer Laurie J. Nelson. Cast: Jackie Robinson, Chadwick Boseman. Branch Rickey, Harrison Ford. Rachel Robinson, Nicole Behari. Leo DeRocher, Christopher Maloney. Dixie Walker, Ryan Merriman. Pee-wee Reese, Lucas Black. Wendell Smith, Andre Holland. Ben Chapman, Alan Tudyk. Ralph Branca, Hamish Linklater. Harold Parrott, T.R. Knight. Red Barber, John C. McGinley. Clyde Sukforth, Toby Huss. Bert Shotton, Max Gale. Kirby Higbee, Brad Beyer. Mr. Brock, James Pickens Jr. Joe Garagiola, Gino Anthony Pacey. Clay Hopper, Brett Cullen. Eddie Stanky, Jesse Lucan. Pete Ricer, Jamie Holliday. Bobby Bragan, Derek Phillips. Spider Jorgensen, Jamie Roiling. Gene Hermansky, Blake Sanders. Carl Farillo, Johnny Knight. Hugh Casey, Clint O'Brien. Ed Charles, Dusan Brown. Ed's mother, Cherise Booth. Birmingham catcher, Friedel Pinkston. Fritz Ostermuller, Link Hand. Everett McCooey, Thomas Helgeland. Luther, Matt Clark. Happy Chandler, Peter McKenzie. Bob Cook, Joe Insko. Mally, Monet Michael. Duff Harris, Carol Foreman. Dutch Leonard, C.J. Nitkowski. Andy Semenik, Scott Calloway. Philly 1, James Rackley. Philly 2, Aaron Farb. Monarch Batter, Anthony S. Goolsby. Reporter 1, Lou Criscuolo. Reporter 2, Ross Hughes. Reporter 3, Joe Knezovich. Herb Pennock, Mark Herelick. Fan 1, Kenny Cook. Fan 2, David Sweeney. Miss Bishop, Rhoda Griffiths. Babe Hamburger, Dan Fenlon. Policeman, Maury Covington. Freckles, Henry Friedman. Freckles' dad, Holden Hansen. Spectator 1, Dan Mangini. Spectator 2, John Kohler. Doctor, Mark Gowan. Jimmy Powers, Jackson Walker. Eddie Dyer, Danny Vinson. Photographer, Ari Blinder. Cracker, William Flamen. Older woman, Denise Moy. Hotel manager, Peter Jurassic. Another reporter, Michael H. Cole. Jane Ann, Janet Metzger. Racist City Island fan, Dax Griffin. White gas station attendant, Jason Warner Smith. Boy, Jeremy Taylor. Bus driver, Christopher Harvey. Alice, Kelly Jackley. Lorraine Day, Judd Tyler. Panamanian kid, Tobias Michael Finn. Shouting fan, Ursel A. Grimes Jr. City Island umpire, Dwight W. Hauser Jr. Roosevelt home umpire, Barry Suttle. Ball 1 umpire, Andrew B. Roberts. Negro League umpire, Jimmy L. Coleman. Umpire 1, Steve Hicks. Umpire 2, Wayne Hickey. Umpire 3, Andrew Mullins. Umpire 4, Dennis A. Spears. Umpire 5, Gary Miller. Reporter 4, Todd Wilson. Enos Slaughter, David Toms. Dealand umpire, Richard Tavernero. Dodger Batboy, Hunter Cloudus. Songs. Good Rockin' Tonight, performed by Winoni Harris. Shame on You, performed by Spade Cooley. Moonglow, performed by Artie Shaw and his orchestra. Begin the Begin, performed by Melora Hardin. Be Honest With Me, performed by Gene Autry. Love a Man, Oh Where Can You Be, performed by Billie Holiday. Panama, performed by the Lecuona Cuban Boys. Nasabi, performed by Alberto Socarras y su Orchestra. Straighten Up and Fly Right, performed by Nat King Cole Trio. Take Me Out of the Ball Game and The Sidewalks of New York, performed by Ed Alstrom. Did You See Jackie Robinson Hit That Ball, performed by Count Basie. This Motion Picture, copyright Legend Pictures LLC. Story and Screenplay, copyright Legend Pictures LLC. Original Score, copyright 2013 Warner Barum Music LLC. All material is protected by copyright laws of the United States and all countries throughout the world. All rights reserved. Country of first publication, United States of America. Warner Brothers and Legend Pictures LLC are the authors of this motion picture for purposes of copyright and other laws. Any unauthorized exhibition, distribution or copying of this film or any part thereof, including soundtrack, is an infringement of the relevant copyright and will subject the infringer to severe civil and criminal penalties. In memory of Richard Foulkes. Distributed by Warner Brothers Pictures, a Time Warner company.